This is a Wisconsin winery edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. In the last 15 years or so, there's been a dramatic increase in the number of wineries in Wisconsin, and they are now located across the state, more than 100 of them. We will speak with a guest winery expert who will tell us why Wisconsin is a great place for making wine and enjoying wine, and we will welcome your questions for him, and we'll also welcome your favorite Wisconsin wineries or types of wine. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Ryan Prelwitz, Regional Director for the Wisconsin Winery Association. He's also the owner of Vines and Rushes Winery in Ripon, Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to have you with us. So how many wineries do we have in Wisconsin?
It's hard to give you an exact number because it's changing so quickly, but we're somewhere between 120 and 130. Over the last few years, there's been about 12 wineries a year opening up. And we went from about 13 wineries in the year 2000 up to that number, about 120, 130 right now. So we've seen some pretty dramatic growth in the industry over the last few years.
Oh, my goodness. So why is it? I guess you might not think of Wisconsin as, you know, the ideal place to make wine. Apparently it is.
Well, we're seeing a similar trajectory in both growth of cideries in Wisconsin and also growth of breweries in Wisconsin as well. And I think it's part of a larger idea of producing a product. I think we're seeing an interest in it from the producer side, people that are wanting to get into it, but also demand from the consumer side, people that are looking for locally produced product. They want to know who is producing their product and have a relationship with that person. And so I think it goes, I think, originally back to the foodie concept in many ways of knowing where it's produced and having that relationship with somebody close by.
I get it, yeah. So what got you interested in producing wine?
I have a family history in agriculture. My family was in the dairy business up until about 23 years ago. And at that time, we got out of dairy and transitioned to strawberries and some other produce crops. And then about 2007, we started working with grapes, just an interest in wine and kind of a play around and see what we could do. I had an interest at that point in coming back to the farm shortly after college. And so the idea was, all right, let's see what we can do with grapes. Not really with the idea of opening a winery, but just being a grape grower. And it kind of led into, why not open a winery as well? And so we started that in about 2012. So it really stems from an interest in, or a combination of an interest in growing grapes and an interest in wine as well.
So are your wines grape-based wines then, or lots of fruit wines? What do you have?
We own a strawberry farm, so we kind of have to have a strawberry wine.
That sounds great, actually.
It's our most requested wine, but yeah, we do. Primarily, we are working with grapes. We also have ciders. We grow about 5 acres of grapes on site, and all of the products that we use in our wines are Wisconsin-grown products. There's probably a half dozen to a dozen wineries in the state that are working exclusively with Wisconsin-grown grapes. So that's not real common, but it's not necessarily unusual either.
What types of grapes are grown in Wisconsin? Are the grapes grown here unique to Wisconsin?
They definitely are. Well, not necessarily Wisconsin per se, but the colder climates of the world. Mm-hmm. We see it's not that we can't ripen some of the more traditional grape varieties like Chardonnay or Cabernet Sauvignon or Riesling. It's that we have issues with them dying off in the middle of winter. It's a cold hardiness issue where if it gets down to negative 25 or negative 35 here in Wisconsin, or say, for example, Minnesota or maybe North Dakota or Nebraska or something like that, there are some varieties that work very well in those specific areas. And it really comes down to, you know, if we can get a variety to survive the winters here in Wisconsin, it's then finding the right varieties that can make a great quality wine as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you, we're able in Wisconsin, we do, some wineries do import in other grapes grown elsewhere, though.
Absolutely. There's a really wide diversity of wine styles being made in Wisconsin, and starts with wines made from grapes grown in Wisconsin. There are imported grapes from quite a bit from the New York area, and then also quite a bit from California or the West Coast. But then we also do quite a bit with different fruit wines. Wisconsin, I would say, has a pretty big history of country wines, as they're sometimes called, or fruit wines, or you know, something made from, say, strawberries or raspberries, or there's pretty much anything you can imagine that fruit wines have been made out of. And so Wisconsin does quite a bit of that, but there's also a lot that do grape wines from grapes grown in Wisconsin. We're probably right around 1,000-plus acres of grapes being grown in Wisconsin right now, which sounds like a lot, but in the grand scheme of things worldwide, it's still a pretty small number. But that's a number that's kind of grown at the same pace that the wineries in Wisconsin has.
And you make your wines at Vines and Rushes with your strawberries and with just Wisconsin-grown grapes?
Yes, correct. Absolutely. Yeah. We produce a couple thousand cases a year of wine. Since I'm a farmer by heart, and so growing the grapes is kind of near and dear to my heart. And so working with those grapes to make a good quality wine, and that's another common misconception, is that you can't make dry wines in Wisconsin. We actually focus on drier style wines here in Wisconsin, our specific winery and some others as well. But we're looking at a wide variety of different styles, everything from dry to sweet, reds and whites. And we'd like a wide, broad portfolio of different wines available in the lineup. And so when somebody comes into the tasting room, we'd like them to be able to find something that they can enjoy. And it's very unusual when that doesn't happen.
Well, I'm certainly going to like your strawberry wine. I mean, I don't like all fruit wines, but it just sounds like something I'd like to try. But what is your most popular or trademark grape wine?
Our most popular grape wine is actually it's a sweeter style white named after my daughter, called Sadie's Charm. Right now, that's our most popular grape wine in the lineup. But from a single varietal grape, there's a variety called Brianna that was developed by a grape breeder named Elmer Swenson from Wisconsin. And that's probably our most popular right now in the lineup, but every day it's different. There's another variety called La Crescent that's pretty popular. St. Pepin and Frontenac are also single varietal wines made from one variety of grape, named after the grape variety.
Mm-hmm.
And those are also very popular. It really depends on the day and the crowd that comes into the winery.
We have just a minute or so before we need to take a news break, and then we will ask listeners to share some of their favorite Wisconsin wines and wineries. But how are the grapes growing?
It's actually been a pretty good year. We could use some more heat. Wisconsin's been, I guess the whole upper Midwest has been pretty cool right now. But the year as a whole, we've had a good amount of moisture. but not too much. We've had, it was a later spring, but we had some frost in the northeast parts of the state that did cause some bud damage to some grapes in that region. But I guess across the state, we're looking at probably an increase in yield this year over last year. But that comes with the note that last year we were down quite a bit from the previous winter, which was hard on everybody and everything.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back as well. We are talking about Wisconsin wines and wineries during this edition of Tell Joy Where to Go, and I'd like to know where you recommend. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. This is the Ideas Network.
A bottle of whites. Bottle of red, perhaps a bottle of rosé instead.
We are talking about wine during this edition of Tell Joy Where to Go, a Wisconsin Wineries edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. There has been a dramatic increase in the number of wineries in Wisconsin. We are talking about why this is and talking about the different types of wine that we can get in different regions of the state. Have you visited a winery near you? Do you have a favorite Wisconsin winery or wine? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And if you have questions about producing wine or growing grapes, our guests can answer those questions as well. Ryan Perlwitz is a regional director for the Wisconsin Winery Association. He is owner of Vines and Rushes Winery in Ripon, Wisconsin. And by the way, when I was traveling out and about in Wisconsin last month, I did stop at a Wisconsin winery. And I took a photo, and I didn't, unfortunately, have the iHeart WPR magnet in the photo, but we thought we'd post the photo anyway on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page to see if you can identify this winery. And if you do, you get bragging rights. So try to figure out where I was in Wisconsin, at what Wisconsin winery was I at. Maybe the scenery will give you a clue. That's at the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So I've been to wineries in Door County, and I have a lot of wineries in Door County, and also a number of wineries right around this area. Jerry on Facebook mentions one of my favorites. It's very close. Ullersheim Winery is the place for me, Jerry says. Great wine, and they offer a very cool tour of the facilities. They have a great courtyard where you can sit and watch the bald eagles overhead while sipping your wine. They also have a great store with wine tasting. So yeah, the Ullersheim Winery, pretty well known around these parts. And pretty acclaimed, too, Ryan. I guess I would think you would agree.
Absolutely. They are a national award-winning winery that has really actually shocked some people on the West Coast specifically. They were the winery of the year in the San Diego International Wine Competition in 2014, I believe it was. And just a huge award coming from essentially the backyard of essentially half of the wineries in the U.S. reside in California, and they blew them away. So we always like to see something like that happen, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so they are an acclaimed winery, and they've been around since the late 60s, early 70s. Is when the Ullersheim family originally started on that property. But that property actually goes back to the 1800s when Count Agustin Harass started a vineyard and winery there in the 1800s. So Wisconsin has a history in the wine business that goes back quite a ways, actually.
Yeah, in fact, we will in our Wisconsin Life feature at the end of this hour talk about more about the history of wine in Wisconsin and in the Midwest. So that is our Wisconsin Life feature coming up at the end of this hour. Right now, we are wondering, where do you like to go to get some good Wisconsin wine? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Do you have a favorite winery in your neck of the woods? We have Rick on Facebook who says White Winter Winery in Iron River. They have wonderful mead wine. What is mead wine, Ryan?
Mead wine is a wine that is actually made from honey as the primary product. And it's a combination of honey and water. And there are different styles of mead. You can make mead, can also come from mead honey with fruit and with maybe flowers. You can have meads made with vegetables, I believe. There's a lot of different types of meads, and each one has a different name. And so it's a pretty unique product line, but can make some exceptional wines as well.
So new meaning to eat your veggies, if that's right. The case. So the difference is that the honey makes it a mead.
Exactly. The honey is the primary product, the base product in it. And the history goes that that mead is actually older than grape wine. It goes back, longer, way, 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 way long ago, but beyond grape wine as well, as one of the first fermented products.
So is it truly wine if it's not made with grapes? What makes it a wine?
That's something that I can be a politician here, that everybody has a different opinion on. So there's a difference between wine, grape wine, and fruit wine. There's a distinction there. If you look at the technical definition, I believe it says that a wine is made from grapes. But you can also make, if you look at a looser definition or a social definition of it, really depends on who you ask. And that's going to depend on, is it somebody that likes the stauncher definition of wine made from grapes, or is it looser and it can be made from anything, a fermented beverage in a certain alcohol level realm. It really just depends on each person's individual taste on it. But really, for most people, they're just saying, hey, I like it. Let's call it wine.
So what makes, and I guess we'll get into a little bit of science here, but what makes a wine a red wine or a white wine? What makes the wine white?
So that's going to be the grape variety that is used. Each grape variety is going to have different colors inherent to it. So some varieties are going to be, for example, we work with Brianna and La Crescent are two grape varieties that are white skins and white pulp. But then we also work with another variety called Frontenac Gris. Frontenac Gris is a red-skinned grape but with clear pulp. And when we run it through our destemmer to take the stems off and then press it immediately to separate the juice from the skins and pulp and seeds, we get a white wine. It's actually a little bit of a pinkish hue when we first process it, but then over time some of that pulp and color that would remain in there that gives it a little bit of a pink hue is going to drop out, and it will be a white wine at the result of that.
When there's a blush or is that the type of grape you're talking about there, or is there a little combination?
It can be a combination. Sometimes blush wines or rosé wines are made from a single varietal that might be a red grape with some red skins, and it spends just a red-skinned grape with red pulp, and if you ferment it for a lengthy amount of time on the skin, so you're going to get a traditional dry red or a traditional red color. But if you were to destem it and then press it immediately and separate the juice from the pulp, you're going to get a product that is much lighter in color. But then there's also blends of grapes where you're blending a white wine with some red wine and getting more of a blush or a rosé color out of that.
Yeah.
So there's a few different methods for making rosé style. Essentially, there are no hard and true laws or rules for what you can and can't do with colors and in different grape varieties.
And finally, the red wine?
So red wine is almost exclusively going to be made from red grapes that are destemmed, and they'll spend some time on the skin, so skin contact, in a fermentation vessel where you add yeast, and so the fermentation starts to extract some of those color products from the grapes themselves. And then after anywhere from maybe a day or two to maybe 10 to 14 days even, you're going to press the grapes and separate the juice from the pulp and result in a product that is going to be much darker in color.
We are talking about wine, Wisconsin wine, and making wine, and where to taste wine. This is a Wisconsin winery edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. Our guest is Ryan Prelwitz, regional director for the Wisconsin Winery Association, owner of Vines and Rushes Winery in Ripon, Wisconsin. So where's your favorite winery, or what is your favorite Wisconsin wine? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let's go to Kathy in Medford. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Joy. How are you today?
I'm good. Do you have a winery in Medford?
Well, we don't have one. Well, we've got ones close by.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite one right at the moment is River Bend, which is in Chippewa Falls.
And why do you favor that?
Oh my goodness, I don't think I've ever had a wine over there. They do many, many varieties, and I don't believe I've ever had one wine that I didn't like.
Yeah, and just because they all taste good. Do they have? Is it a nice setting, or what kind of?
Oh, it is a lovely setting. It's outside of it's along the river, outside of Chippewa Falls in the country, and wine grapes all over the place. They're one of my favorite ones. They have a reserve wine, which is kind of like a port. It's a very, very tasty wine.
Ooh, and I think you need to put a little brandy in that port, don't you, Ryan, to make it a port?
That's correct. Generally speaking, it's going to be brandy, yeah.
Oh, very good. Thank you, Kathy, for that. And what does she mean by reserve wine?
It's difficult to say, but it's essentially a reserve would imply set aside as a maybe a higher quality. Or maybe it's there was one specific lot that came out exceptional, and they decided to segment that from the rest of their production of that specific variety and call it a reserve. Something that's oftentimes done with wineries. If there's something that stands above the rest, they'll name it a reserve and release it as a separate wine from instead of blending it in with everything else. It just ends up with a slightly different product, but reserve is going to imply that it's slightly better or a cut above the rest, so to speak.
Okay, thanks, Kathy, for recommending River Bend Winery in Chippewa Falls. We have James on Facebook who says Forgotten Winery near Peshtigo has good stuff.
Forgotten Fire.
Oh, I'm sorry. Forgotten Fire. So you're familiar with that one.
Yeah, I'm familiar with all these. Definitely.
Yeah, Forgotten Fire Winery near Peshtigo. James writes, not the biggest winery, but $4 for a tasting and a free glass, not a bad deal. So do most wineries charge for tastings?
That is, yes, some do, some don't. The actual percentage, it might be split 50-50. It might be 60% that charge. But it's somewhere in there. It might be higher than I think. It might be 70-30. At Vines and Rushes, we don't charge for tastings. We figure we're doing an unusual thing in the state that you wouldn't expect. And we generally see people that Wisconsin's history with wines is, since we're doing so many different grape wines and we're doing drier style, oftentimes, as well as sweeter style wines, we want people to try them because the proof is in the pudding, so to speak. We get people to try the wines that way and experiment and try something that even if they were trying wines anyways, that's something that they wouldn't try. And oftentimes we'll send somebody home with something that they wouldn't have expected to enjoy.
Wow. So how do you, when someone is at your winery and wants to do a wine tasting, how do you decide, what to offer them and the order that you offer them in?
We recommend an order that is based on whatever's, so we place an order in front of them and say, this is essentially, if you were to taste through everything, which is an option, this is the least impactful that the wines will be towards each other. So we start with the whites on the drier side and work to the sweeter side on the whites, and then switch over to red and work from drier to sweeter. And that impacts your taste buds the least.
I see. So if you would have had that that red sweet wine first, that's going to affect the rest, the way the rest of them taste, because that's going to stay with you a little while.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. Yep. So the sweetness, it's hard to step back from sweetness. You can't get less sweet in your mouth. That's why you start on the drier side and work sweeter as you kind of increment up away from the sweet, or towards the sweetness, rather.
Does it work if you have the oyster cracker in between?
Oyster crackers are not, I'm not a fan of oyster crackers at all. We do offer crackers, but the salt that's in oyster crackers is actually a detriment to the tasting, I would say. So the crackers that we offer are specifically designed for wine tasting and don't have that signature oyster cracker saltiness.
I didn't realize that. Okay. Let's go to Joanne in Neshkoro next. Hi, Joanne.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Good. Do you have a local winery in Neshkoro?
Yes. It's just opened probably 2-3 years ago. It's called the Lunch Creek Winery. It's about 3 miles west of Neshkoro on County E. And they have a vineyard there, and they also have blueberries and cherries and, I don't know, many, many different fruits that they grow right there. And it's just a great little place. They have a little place outside you can sit and eat, sit and taste, or inside too. And just a huge variety of delicious wines. So.
Sounds great, Joanne. Thank you for letting us know about it. We have just a minute before another news break, Ryan. Those tours and the atmosphere important too to the wineries around Wisconsin?
Absolutely. We bring in a lot of customers to our site specifically, but and you'll find this at many wineries throughout the state where we'll do different events like live music. And so we provide seating for live music and some additional things that you can taste, such as cheeses and crackers and things like that.
We are talking about Wisconsin wineries on this edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. This, by the way, was a listener suggestion during our last open line, asking us to highlight the wineries around the state of Wisconsin. So we're doing so, and we're asking for your help. What is your local winery, or what's your favorite winery? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Sweet cherry wine, cherry pie. We are talking about wine on this edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we are following up on a listener suggestion to our most recent open line and talking about Wisconsin wineries. And I'm asking you about your favorite Wisconsin wineries or favorite Wisconsin wines. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And I did post a photo of a recent visit I had to one Wisconsin winery and asked you to guess where this winery is. And we have Cheryl who guessed El Morro Winery in Trempealeau, Wisconsin. Well, that is close, but not correct. It is in that region of the state, though. And in fact, you can see, I think you can see that the Mississippi River is in the background on this photo. And Ryan Prelwitz, I noticed on a recent trip to western Wisconsin, the Great River Road area, that there were a lot of wineries and winery tours. Is there something special about growing grapes over there that makes it popular for wineries?
Part of it is going to be the regional. So essentially, you've got a bunch of hillsides and some farmers that are transitioning away from traditional agriculture towards something else. And so in that sense, it just happens to be kind of an area where a number of wineries have concentrated over time. But it also is... the Mississippi River will moderate the temperatures a little bit within that area. So they'll get slight changes, maybe a slightly higher temperature than we will through the rest of the state. Kind of like you get on the east side of Lake Michigan, where they can grow blueberries and raspberries. And they've got a number of different fruit crops that they can grow very well. So it's because of the temperature being slightly higher. So the same way with the Mississippi River with grapes. They like that slightly warmer temperature. It benefits them. There's a few different factors that are involved in that, I'd say.
Yeah. Oh, Marcia emails, my new favorite is Dancing Dragonfly Winery, St. Croix Falls, located in the beautiful St. Croix River Valley. Award-winning wine, all named after popular dance styles, the rumba, the tango, the ballet, and of course the polka. You have to visit this unique winery. Thank you, Marcia. I will. I'll put that on the list. In fact, I'm planning a trip over to that area of the state, not this weekend, but next. So I'll see if I can fit that in. And Ryan, I am definitely putting the Vines and Rushes Winery in Ripon on my list. Ripon's just a hop, skip, and a jump away from here. I didn't even know it was there, but we're gonna make a visit to my husband's, where his alma mater is, and check out your winery soon. But if let me ask you to give me a couple of ideas in other regions of the state. Any others in, let's say, we haven't really talked about the Milwaukee area. Does Milwaukee have wineries?
Yeah, there are a couple down in that area. One to point out would be Stollery Estates, which is just west of Milwaukee, and that is in the Delavan area, I believe is the city specifically.
Mm-hmm.
You have Cedar Creek Winery and the Chiseled Grape Winery, which are both in the Cedarburg area.
Sure.
Let's see.
Cedar Creek is a sister winery to Wollersheim, if I'm not mistaken, because...
That is correct. Yeah, absolutely.
How about the Fox Fox River Valley? Appleton area.
So up in the Fox River Valley, there's Ledgestone and Trout Springs are both up in that region, right in the Greenleaf area. Parallel 44 would be just east of Green Bay. All three of these are wineries that have vineyards right on site, and they're making wines from quite a few Wisconsin-grown grapes. Cold Country Wines and Vines is another new one up in that area, pretty near to Parallel 44. Let's see. I'm trying to think of what else is up there.
Southwest Wisconsin? I don't think we've hit any in that quadrant of the state.
Sure. So in that area, Branches Winery is going to be in the Westby region. El Morro, which was talked about before, is in the La Crosse area, Trempealeau County, I believe, or Trempealeau region. Let's see, who else is going to be down there? Whispering Bluffs and Whispering Winds Winery are both down in that area as well. Those are relatively new.
Yeah. Let me, because of time, go to Suzanne in Madison next. Hello, Suzanne.
Hello.
Yes, what's your favorite winery now?
Well, me and my sisters, we just love taking drives and just on occasion you get really lucky and you happen upon a winery. And we were driving through Ferryville, Wisconsin out last weekend, and there was some representatives from Sugar Creek Winery. They're in rural Ferryville, and they're an up-and-coming winery. They just started out, they said, I think within the last 5 years, but they just had a fantastic cranberry wine, and we were just really surprised they had this port wine, which was just fabulous. It's just an example of some of these newer wineries, you know, popping up, and this was just mere luck that we had drove by and saw them having wine tasting.
Thank you very much, Suzanne. Let's very quickly, Carol in Hazelhurst. Hi, Carol.
Hi there. I would like to recommend the Brigadoon Winery that's nestled up here in the North Woods near Triple I, Wisconsin. It's just a lovely little place. My favorite wine there happens to be their dry red called Rustic Red. And they also do a lovely berry wine called Good Old Summertime that is just really yummy to have while grilling or on a picnic. So come on up to Triple I and enjoy the wines at the Brigadoon.
I will. Thank you, Carol. And a caller did guess the Facebook page photo, the vineyard that I have pictured on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page that I visited last month was the Danziger Vineyards in Alma, or Alma, A-L-M-A. So this has been great. I've got lots of places to visit. Ryan, any, last words of advice if we want to find the winery that's our next favorite?
Well, I actually recommend, making a year of this. And, you know, there's quite a few wineries out there. And stay at a bed and breakfast, these are local restaurants. And pick, half a dozen wineries over a weekend and visit a bunch and choose your favorites. This is really a way of seeing Wisconsin with a goal in mind as well. And it's a fun way of kind of going out and getting a slice of Wisconsin in a new way.
Thank you so much for being with us. Ryan Perlwitz is a regional director for the Wisconsin Winery Association, owner of the Vines and Rushes Winery in Ripon. It's time now for Wisconsin Life and more on Wisconsin wineries. Before California was the center of the American wine universe, the Midwest loomed large. Wisconsin had vineyards and wineries before the Civil War. Historian Erica Hanekel shares the history of wine of this region.
From about the 1830s through the 1870s, the Ohio Valley is really the center of wine growing in the U.S. I think this is something that not a whole lot of Americans know. We think that it was California, and it always was California, and there was nothing before California. And so this middle part of the 19th century is really filled with Midwestern wine growing. So, of course, Wisconsin has a deep beer history, and that's really coming on the backs of German immigrants. But German immigrants are also the ones largely doing a whole lot of the labor in the vineyards in the 19th century. The wine scene in Wisconsin really starts up about a decade and a half after brewing starts in Wisconsin. Brewing is really up and going by the 1830s. Wine comes to Wisconsin in 1846, or at least the story that gets told about the progenitor of wine was a guy by the name of Augustin Harasthy. He was a Hungarian. He had all of these entrepreneurial schemes that he brought to America with him. And Augustin Harasthy founds a winery in Wisconsin, very near Prairie du Sac, and it's actually what later becomes the Wollersheim Winery. But Harasthy only stays in Wisconsin for 2 years. He moves to Sonoma, California in 1848, as you might guess, because gold has been found in Northern California. So he had to go and start up a couple of other schemes. And so after that point, for many decades, you have essentially several different types of families growing grapes in southern Wisconsin. By 1908, the University of Minnesota, their grape breeding program begins. And that really brings types of grapes that grow well in the upper Midwest onto the market for grape growers. So then, sadly, of course, Prohibition hits in the 1920s, and it takes many decades, again, for Wisconsin to really kind of get its momentum back on the whole. It's not until the 1970s that winemaking, I would say, really begins to take off. Ever since, we've had a really pretty lovely dramatic increase, and really over the last couple of years. So today, we've got now, 700 acres of vines in Wisconsin, approximately. There are several places across the Midwest that do make wine and sparkling wines out of grapes that were particular to the Midwest in the 1800s. So the Catawba, Concord grapes were popular on the East Coast and in the Midwest. The Niagara grape, the Delaware grape. These are kind of specific grapes. While I have not tasted all of those, I'm definitely not a 19th century wine expert in terms of taste. I have tried sparkling Catawba, and I think it's actually great. There are lots and lots of wine snobs that will tell you, nothing from the Labrusca family of grapes is going to be drinkable, that it's all swill. And I just don't believe that.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. For more information, visit wisconsinlife.org. Thanks to Caleb Lado and to Christy Taylor for producing this hour. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.